إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 9th session dealing with the topic of al-iman or faith in al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, yani the divine pre-decree, the good and the evil of it, that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely. And this is taken from the book of al-allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami, rahimahullah, his book entitled أعلام السنة المنشورة لإعتقاد الطائفة الناجية المنصورة. And this chapter that we are dealing with is a very important chapter, as we have mentioned on a number of occasions. And we have sent notes out, يعني periodically, from time to time, maybe once a week or so, explaining or detailing some of the benefits of having iman in al-qadr that have been mentioned by al-imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And I hope that you have paid some attention to those points that the Shaykh has made, and perhaps it is yani a motivation for us to give more care and attention to this topic. Indeed, it is of the utmost importance. Before we start with the questions that we have for tonight, which is question number 148 and question number 149, at least we will start it. Before we do that, we want to look back to the question from last week, which is question number 147. يعني ما دليل التقدير اليومي, يعني what is the دليل, what is the evidence for the divine, وعليكم السلام, the divine pre-decree which is executed by Allah daily from what He has pre-decreed. يعني what is the evidence for this? The Shaykh, he mentioned two things, one an ayah from the Quran and the other the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. So if somebody can mention to us the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned. Naam, Ya Abdullah. From Surah? Surah Al-Rahman, Naam. Ayah number 29. Kulli yawmin huwa fi sha'n. Naam, what does this mean? He's occupied with some affair. Yani he is engaged in, yani fulfilling the needs of the people, the requests of the people, the things that he has yani pre-decreed. He is in the process of what? Executing those matters. Naam. Surah Ar-Rahman, ayah 29. What number is Surah Ar-Rahman? 55. Naam. Jazakallah khair. Naam. Does anybody remember the beginning of the ayah? Naam. Yas'aluhu man fis samawati wal ard. Meaning? They are asking Him, those who are in the heavens and the earth, they are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their needs, for their desires, for their wants, whatever it is, they are asking. And every day He is engaged, yani in the affairs of the execution of the things that He has pre-decreed. Naam. And as far as the statement of Abdul ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, can anybody remind us of this statement of Abdul ibn Abbas concerning this matter of the daily, yani, taqdeer? نعم يا عبد السلام
إن مما خلق الله تعالى لوحا محفوظا من ذرة بيضاء دفتاه من ياقوت حمراء قلمه نور وكتابه نور ينظر فيه كل يوم 360 نظرا أو مرة ففي كل
نظرة في
وكل نظرة نظرة منها يخلق ويرزق ويحيي ويميت ويعز ويذل. ويفعل ما يشاء وذلك قوله تعالى كل يوم هو في شأن.
جزاك الله خير ما شاء الله. Okay, who can help us to translate what he has said? يعني عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما, he said that from the things that Allah Ta'ala has created is a preserved tablet, lawhan mahfoodan, which he created from what? Dharra bayda, from a white what? Pearl. And its covers are what? Yaquta hamra, red rubies. Qalamuhu nur, meaning its pen is light. Wa kitabuhu nur, and its writing is light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks in it every day, how many times? 360 times. Fi kulli marra, aw fi kulli nadra. Every time he looks in it, yakhluqu wa yarzuqu. What? He creates and he provides. وَيُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ, he gives life and causes death. وَيُعِزُّ وَيُذِلُّ, يُعِزُّ يعني he raises up or gives honor to some and he brings down, humiliates others. وَيَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, he does whatever he wills. نعم. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلِّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْن. This is a statement of Abdul Abbas رضي الله عنه, and we had some discussion concerning it and so on last week. So this is what we want to be reminded of. Yani what the Shaykh has presented here concerning the evidences of this type of taqdeer. At-taqdeer al-yawmi. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's daily execution. Yani causing it to happen, bringing to being that which He decreed. Yani 50,000 years, or that which He had written in the Divine Decree in the Lawh al-Mahfuz and Umm al-Kitab 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth. And this matter is actually the end of what, of the second level of al-qadr, iman al-qadr, that is the writing. The first level is knowledge, Allah's perfect knowledge of everything, and the second level is the writing, the recording of it, and these were the five types of recording that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned. So tonight, inshallah, we want to look at a question briefly, which is of great importance in understanding this matter of the writing and how people are يعني expected to relate to it. So the Shaykh, he says in question number 148, ماذا يقتضيه سبق المقادير بالشقاوة والسعادة. يعني what is it, يعني ماذا يقتضيه سبق المقادير, يعني the fact that the matters which are pre-decreed has already taken place, they have already been written. So what does this necessitate? And what does it require from the individual in light of our belief that everything has been pre-recorded? Yani particularly he's asking about what? Ash-shaqawa, which is yani the condition of wretchedness or being unfortunate. The people who will be in the hellfire. That some people will be in the hellfire. And as-sa'ada, the people who will be happy, happiness and being fortunate, good fortune. That is for the people of paradise. The fact that the recording of this and the decision concerning who would be the people who would be shaqi, who would be wretched, who would be in the hellfire, who would be sa'id, the people who are fortunate, who would be in the paradise. The fact that this has already been pre-decreed, it has already been decided, it has already been recorded and written. So what does this necessitate? And what does it require of the individual when we believe this? How are we supposed to act towards this? This is the question. And we know that this is a core question of the issue of al-iman bil-qadr. This is a core question. If we believe that everything is already decided and it's already recorded and it must play out that way that Allah decreed it to be, so then what does that require of the individual? Then what should you do? Should you just say, well, yani, as the kafirs say, it is what it is, yani, nothing we can do about it? Or what are we supposed to do? This is the question that the Shaykh is addressing here briefly, but the points that he makes are of the utmost importance. If you understand it well, inshallah, it is a tremendous blessing. Tremendous blessing. The Shaykh says, اتفقت جميع الكتب السماوية والسنن النبوية على أن القدر السابق لا يمنع العمل ولا يوجب الاتكال عليه. بل يوجب الجد والاجتهاد والحرص على العمل الصالح. This is the first part of his answer. That the books, يعني الكتب السماوية, meaning the books that were revealed from the heavens, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the heavenly books, the books that were revealed, the revelations, as well as as-sunan al-nabawiyya, يعني the sunan, that which came from the prophets, that which came, يعني that which Allah revealed in the revealed books, and that which is found in the sunnah of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the prophets, are in agreement that the previous qadr, that which have been pre-decreed, does not prevent a person from acting, from doing good deeds. The fact that it has been pre-decreed, that doesn't stop you from doing good deeds. Nor does it necessitate or require you to depend upon what has been recorded, what has been predetermined. That you shouldn't depend upon this, since it's already predetermined, so why should we do anything? Just let things go the way they are. What do we have to do about it? The Shaykh is saying that everything that has been revealed, all of it is in agreement, that what has been pre-decreed does not prevent a person from acting, nor does it require or necessitate that he depend upon that. Rather, it requires and necessitates al-jid wal-ijtihad wal-hirs ala al-amal as-salih. Yani that a person enthusiastically, energetically strives and eagerly seeks diligently to do good deeds. Al-jid wal-ijtihad wal-hirs. This is what it requires. Naam. That every person, yani, should earnestly, yani, diligently, use diligence, should observe diligence in doing good deeds. They should be diligent about it. They should strive and struggle to do good deeds. Naam. They should be, yani, eager in seeking out ways to do good deeds. They should be eager about this. It shouldn't be something that we take, yani, lackadaisically. That's not important. And for this reason, وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَصْحَابَهُ بِسَبْكَ الْمَقَادِرِ وَجَرِيَانِهَا وَجُفُوفِ قَلَمْ بِهَا الْقَلَمْ بِهَا قَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ أَفَلَا نَتَّقِلْ عَلَى كِتَابِنَا وَنَضِعَ الْعَمَلِ. يعني for this reason, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed his companions about the fact that the pre-decreed matters have already been decided and that they have been, yani, put into motion and that the pens have dried, meaning the matter is finished, there's nothing going to be changed in it, it is what it is, as it has been written. When he informed them of this, some of them said, shall we not rely upon that which has been written? Yani, if Allah has already written that we're going to be in hellfire, shouldn't we just rely upon this? We don't have to do anything. Let's just, you know, go. It's alright. It's done. The matter is decided. Shouldn't we just rely upon this and avoid, abandon doing good deeds? Why do we need to do good deeds? It was already decided. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, لَا اِعْمَلُوا فَقُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ. لَا, don't rely upon this, what has been written. But rather, don't abandon do good. But rather, اِعْمَلُوا, do good deeds. فَقُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ. For every person will be facilitated. It will be made easy for him to do that which has been decreed for him. And in some of the narrations said, اِعْمَلُوا فَقُلُّ عَامِلٍ مُيَسَّرٌ لِعَمَلِهِ. That every doer of deeds, it will be made easy for him to do the deeds that has been recorded for him to do. And if it has been pre-decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his perfect knowledge of everything, he knows what people are going to do, if it has been pre-decreed that you're going to be of the people of Jannah and you're going to be doing the deeds of the people of Jannah, then that will be made easy for you. So why not do it? Allah has made it easy for you, has facilitated that for you. He knew that you were from the people, that when the guidance came to you, you will accept it and you will try to follow it. He knew that. So that's what he recorded. Then it's incumbent upon you then to do that. So the Prophet ﷺ then recited to them, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. This ayah confirming what he's saying. So as for the one who gives, yani in charity, وَاتَّقَى, and observes taqwa of Allah, يعني does good deeds and observes taqwa of Allah in avoiding what Allah has prohibited. And that person testifies to the truth of al-husna, يعني the truth, the reality of al-jannah. This person who believes this and does good deeds and avoids what Allah has prohibited, then it will be made easy for that person to do the things that he should be doing of good deeds. It will be made easy for that person. And likewise, the opposite is also true. يعني the person who holds back from giving and who thinks themselves independent without need of Allah, and they deny the Jannah and the Naar, they deny the paradise, they don't believe in it, then it will be made easy for them to do yani that which will be evil and lead to their yani predecreed destination. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qadr al maqadir wa hayya laha asbaban. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has pre-decreed the maqadir, the things, the matters that are going to occur. He has decided this based on His perfect knowledge. He has it written, and then, yani, this is His pre-decree. He has made also asbab, the causes or the means through which the person will be able to do this, whatever He has pre-decreed for them. Hayya laha asbab. Allah has prepared causes or reasons or means through which a person will do that which is pre-decreed. Allah has pre-decreed it, and He has also made the means for it. The thing that will get you to achieving that goal, to reaching that destination. So Allah has made the pre-decree, and He has also made the means that you are supposed to take hold of and act upon in order to achieve the goal. He has decided the means. What are the asbab, the sabab, the means or the cause for this? وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ بِمَا نَصَبَهُ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ فِي الْمَعَاشِ وَالْمَعَادِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in His wisdom in what He has set up as the means, the asbab, for achieving the things in this world as well as in the next life. Allah has made means for what you are seeking in this world and means for what you are seeking in the next life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up those means based upon what? His wisdom, His perfect wisdom. His perfect wisdom. He didn't just make any means. Like these people today, they set up rules and regulations. If you want to go here, or you want to get this, or you want to do that, you have to follow these rules. Based on what? These rules are based on what? Based on how they feel that day. They change them from day to day and from year to year. It's not based on anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, this is what you have to do to get here, the means to get there, is based upon wisdom, perfect wisdom. Naam. وَقَدْ يَسَّرَ كُلًّا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ لِمَا خَلَقَهُ لَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for every one of His creatures, for every one of His created beings, to achieve that which He has created it for. He has made it easy for you to achieve that which He has created for you, or created you for. فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Both in this world and the next life. And this is a very important point, brothers and sisters, that the Shaykh is saying here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for a person to achieve that which has been decreed for them in this world and the next life. So just as a person wants something in the dunya, they actually go after it, right? They work day and night, overtime, double time, all of this to get something of the dunya. Because that's the means to achieve your goal. Well, they are likewise the same kind of means to achieve the goals of the hereafter. And you should be eagerly pursuing those means for the reward of the next life, rather more so than you are pursuing the means for the things that you want in this dunya. But we find the opposite. We find people working hard, seeking the means to achieve the dunya, but we don't find them making any effort to follow the means of achieving the akhirah. There's something wrong with this. Wallahi, we have to look at ourselves. Every one of us has to look at ourselves. How much effort am I making for the things I want in this world? Lawful means, naam, okay, lawful, naam. But what about the means that Allah has set for us to achieve the Jannah? Are you pursuing them equally? Rather, more eagerly, more diligently. Because what you're seeking in the world is mata'ul ghurur, just enjoyments of deception. Have no real benefit. Wallahi, has no real benefit. It's just a pleasure for a moment. That's all it really is. I mean, you know that for a fact. But we are deceived by these things. Because you know you only enjoy it temporarily, momentarily, and then it's gone. That's the end of it. But the Jannah is permanent. The pleasures of this world are temporary and they are imperfect. While what Allah has prepared for us in the next life is permanent and is perfect. What kind of exchange is this? Only an ignorant person, a foolish person, or a kafir would prefer the enjoyments of this world over the next life. Naam, I say, oh, a kafir. But first I said an ignorant person, because even some Muslims, they're not kafirs, but they're Muslims, but they're ignorant. Yes, we are ignorant. That's ignorance. When a person has more love and greater desire and strive harder for the things of this world which are imperfect and temporary, passing, fleeting, then they strive for the things of the next life which are permanent and perfect. That's ignorance, for sure. Wallahi, that's ignorance. And all of us, sometimes we're ignorant, with no exceptions. Naam. But I'm not talking about you, I'm just saying in general. You know, everybody has to look at their own self. So the Shaykh, he said, so Allah has made easy, facilitated for every one of His created beings. He has made easy for them to get that which He has created them for, or created for them in this world and in the next life. فَهُوَ مُحَيَّ لَهُ مُيَسَّرَ لَهُ. So this is something that has been set up, prepared, laid out by Allah for you. It's already laid out. And it has been made easy for you, simple for you to do. Now it's just a matter of you deciding that that's what you want to do. If you want it or you don't want it. Our actions, maybe not in our speech all the time, but our actions show that yani, the hereafter is something that we are not that eager to achieve. Now, even though we say on our tongues that we want it, but what about our actions? So the Shaykh, now he says, فَإِذَا عَلِمَ الْعَبْدُ أَنَّ مَصَالِ آخِرَتِهِ مَرْتَبِضَةٌ بِالْأَسْبَابِ الْمُوَصَّلَ إِلَيْهَا كان أشد اجتهادا في فعلها والقيام بها أعظم منه في أسباب معاشه ومصالح دنياه. That when the abd, the slave, servant, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the abd, the worshipper, knows that the beneficial things in his hereafter, the things that he wants in the hereafter, when he knows that they are tied to the causes or the reasons that lead to them. Yani when he knows that there are some causes, some asbab, some reasons, some means in this world that lead to the blessings and the benefits of the hereafter. When he knows that achieving those things, that they are asbab, that they are tied together. You cannot get that except by using these means. If you know that you will not enter the Jannah, except that you have to do some things. You have to take hold of some asbab. Some things that are the causes or the reason for you to get the Jannah. Like you have to make salah 5 times a day. You have to get up in the morning at Fajr when you rather be sleeping. And sometimes you have to stay up in the night when Isha is late in the night when you rather be sleeping. You have to sometimes take care in the performance of your salah when you're in a hurry. Or when you're tired, or when your mind is occupied with something that at that moment, due to ignorance, you believe is more important than making that salah. So you have to take control of the matter, and you have to observe sabr to perform that prayer the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves it. This is a means to enter Jannah. Naam. And sometimes you have to give up some of that money, even though you don't have a lot of money. Or maybe you do have a lot of money. But it doesn't matter though. But you have to give it up for the sake of Allah. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you're just not in the right frame of mind. Your iman is not where it should be. You are not really focusing. And you're distracted with the dunya. So when the call came, you were slow. Like the brother Abdul Shakur. And I'm saying this for 2 reasons. One, because it's related to our topic. And 2, because we're really in need. He asked the brother several times, and the people in general, that we need some money for the day of Eid. How many people came to the day of Eid? Wallahi, brother, so many people came. I don't even know a lot of people. I never saw them in the masjid before. Alhamdulillah, it's the Eid for the Muslim. Everybody's welcome, right? But guess what? The food that the people ate all day and the toys that were given out to their children, somebody had to pay for that. But you know, some people think somebody else will pay for it. So he called and called and called. And 12 brothers gave him some money. And the Eid is when? So today I wrote a letter. And I said to myself, you know, we have to appeal to the people. And let the people know that if you want to come to the Eid and enjoy yourself, if you want to bring your children to the Eid and let them enjoy themselves, guess what? Somebody has to pay for that. Who do you think is going to pay for it? So if a person intends to come to that park, Seaview Park in Brooklyn, the people that live here in this area, and they're going to go to that park for Eid, wallahi, every single one of us is responsible to contribute something. Wallahi, everybody according to their ability. Some brothers, mashallah, gave $100. Some gave $50. Some gave more or less, whatever. A lot of people didn't give anything. I'm saying brother, sister, and sisters too, now, because some sisters, they have money. They might have a job or whatever, they have some money. Everybody should give. Wallahi, if a person gave $1, all they could give, wallahi, Allah might count that as being greater than the person who gave $100. Because the person who gave $100 might have $100,000. $100 to him is nothing. The person who gave $1, maybe all he has is $10. And he gave $1 from that. Now, give according to your ability. The brother Abdul Shakur is here. See him, please. Raise your hand, brother, please. That's the brother right there. We're not going to take up a collection here like this. But brother, sister or brother, there's sisters back there too. Don't leave the masjid. If you intend to enjoy the day of Eid here in Seaview Park in Brooklyn, and even if you don't, if you want, you can give. But the people who are going to come there, don't leave out without giving that brother something. According to your ability. If you don't have anything, go to him and tell him, I don't have any money in my pocket right now, but tomorrow or the next day, they're going to go shopping on Monday, I'm going to bring you something. If it's $5 or $10 or $20 or $50 or $100, anyway, it's in the way of Allah. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that a person's wealth is not decreased by giving sadaqah. It is not decreased, contrary to popular opinion. We, for the most part, believe that when you give, your money decreases, right? If you take money out of your pocket and give it to someone, then you got less money in your pocket. Well, the Prophet ﷺ said, not if you give sadaqah sincerely for the sake of Allah and the way of Allah, it does not decrease. Wallahi, Allah is rich. Where do you think you got what you have from? It's all from Allah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and earth belongs to Allah. Everything that you have in your pocket, everything you have in your home, in your car, any place, even you belong to Allah. You belong to Allah. Now, and Allah can do with you whatever He wills. And until you recognize that, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble until we recognize that. Now, so when the person knows that his benefits and rewards in his next life are tied to the means that lead to it, the means that help him to achieve it, then he will be أَشَدُّ اِجْتِهَادًا فِي فِعْلِهَا وَالْقِيَامِ بِهَا. Yani he will strive harder and greater to do those things and to fulfill those things that are the means to achieving the benefits in the next life. When he knows that these things that he hoped for and wished for in the next life, that they are, his achieving that is tied to certain means. So when he knows that, he's gonna actually, if he has iman, he's gonna strive harder to do those things and to fulfill those matters in order to achieve that what he wants in the next life. Rather, he will strive harder to achieve those things, to take hold of those means, than he does in attending to the means of the benefits and things of this dunya, of the worldly life. He will strive harder. He will make a greater effort to utilize the means of achieving the reward of the next life than he makes to achieve the benefits and rewards in this dunya. And you just have to ask yourself, just look at yourself. It is incumbent upon us to look at ourselves and be honest. You don't have to report to anybody. You don't have to, what they do in the church, in the Catholic church, what they call that? Confession. You don't have to make a confession to anybody. You have to stand in front of your Lord and admit that I have been working harder to achieve the dunya than the akhirah. And I want to change this and ask Allah's help. The Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ فَقُحَ هَذَا كُلَّ الْفِقْ مَنْ قَالَ مِنَ السَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَمَّا سَمِيَ أَحَدِيثَ الْقَدْرِ مَا كُنْتُ أَشَدَّ اِجْتِهَادًا مِنِّي الْآنِ. Yani that companion of the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard the hadith related to the divine pre-decree, he understood with complete understanding, real fiqh, fahm, complete understanding. He understood what that meant. And he said, مَا كُنْتُ أَشَدُّ اجْتِهَادًا مِنِّي الْآنِ, that I had never been more yani eager, earnest, diligent in seeking the hereafter than I am now. I had never been more eager, more diligent, more earnest. أَشَدُّ اجْتِهَادًا, striving more so than I am now. After hearing those hadith about qadha, when he heard that, he became more serious, more diligent, more earnest, striving harder to what? To utilize the means that achieve the hereafter. Because when he understood that I'm not going to get that unless I do this now, then he worked harder. So perhaps when we understand this subject, inshallah, the greatest benefit that we may get from it is that we will actually understand that we need to attend to this affair if we want to earn Allah's reward. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim and Ahmad and Ibn Majah and others from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in a long hadith that begins with Al-Mu'min al-Qawi khayrun wa habbu ilallahi min al-Mu'min al-Da'if. Yani the Shaykh mentioned the part of the hadith, that's the beginning of it, that the strong Muslim, and he's a strong believer, the one who's strong in Iman, whose Iman is strong, Al-Mu'min al-Qawi, the one whose Iman is strong, not the strong believer, meaning the one who could do more push-ups. Rather, al-mu'min al-qawi means the person whose iman is qawi. The one whose iman is qawi. He is khayrun, better, wa habbu ila Allah, more beloved to Allah than al-mu'min al-da'if. Then the believer, who's a believer but his iman is weak. This one is more beloved and is better, wa fi kullin khayr. But in each of them there is good. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, and this is the shahid that the Shaykh is mentioning here, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعَجِزْ اِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ, yani be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits you. Go after it. And what is more beneficial than the benefits of the Akhirah? وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, yani اِحْرِسْ, that's the first thing, you have to make the effort, be diligent in it. And secondly, wasta'in billah, seek help from Allah in whatever you try to do of good. Ask Allah's help. Don't rely upon yourself alone. Work hard, but ask Allah's help. Wala ta'ajiz, and don't feel helpless. Yani that, don't feel like you are incapable. You're unable. How can you be incapable? How can you be unable? If you are working hard at doing good and you are asking Allah's help, how can you be incapable? How can you fail? That's impossible. That you work hard to do what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His sake and ask His help and then you're going to fail? That's impossible. That's impossible. If you are not doing well, there's something wrong with you. Because if you ask Allah's help to do good, Allah will help you. How will He not help you? Oh Allah, help me to make salat. And Allah said, no, I don't want to help you. That doesn't make any sense. So there's something wrong with you or me. Us. And then the Shaykh, he says, finally, he closes with this. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لما قيل له أرأيت دواء نتداوى به ورقى نسترقيها هل ترد من قدر الله شيئا يعني It was said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what do you think about the dawa, يعني the medicine that we use for healing ourselves, or the ruqa, yani the ruqya, the yani words that are recited, that's from the ayat of the Quran, or from the words that the Prophet ﷺ have taught us, or the names of Allah, that we use for healing ourselves, words, ruqya, that we seek healing or cure from. What do you think about this? هَلْ تَرُدُّ مِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا? Does this repulse, push back or stop anything from what Allah has decreed? And if this medicine, can it actually help us to prevent us from getting sick if Allah has decreed it? Or the ruqya, can it help us if Allah has decreed something for us? The Prophet ﷺ said, and this goes back to the point that the Shaykh made earlier, he said Allah has pre-decreed everything and He has also set up the means to achieve in it, the asbab. The Prophet ﷺ said, هِيَ مِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ, yani those medicines or those things that you recite, ruqya, that is from the decree of Allah. That's not something outside of Allah's decree. Yani the fact that you use some medicine for sickness or preventing some sickness or something, this is also from Allah's decree. This is the means, lawful legal means that Allah has given you to cure you or to prevent sickness. Naam, so does this yani repulse Allah's decree? No, this is part of Allah's decree. This is actually part of Allah's decree. So should you use it? Absolutely. Naam. The legislative means, naam. Lawful means, naam. The Shaykh said this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has pre-decreed the khair, good, and the shar, evil. And He as well also is the one who has set up the asbab. Asbab kullin minhuma. Yani the causes or the reasons or the means to each of them. Khair and shar. Allah is the one who pre-decreed the khair and the shar. And He is also the one who has set up the means through which a person would get the khair, the good, or that they would bring upon themselves the shar, the evil. So those means are part of Allah's decree. It's part of what Allah has decreed. And this hadith is mentioned by At-Tirmidhi and others. At-Tirmidhi said it's Hasan Sahih. And Al-Hakim said that it is hadithun Sahih al-Isnad. And Shaykh al-Albani said that this hadith, I hope that it reaches the level of Al-Hasan. Naam. So inshallah, this hadith is a reminder to us that there are means that a person is supposed to use. Naam. You utilize the means. If you know that something is lawful and that it is said, with even though you didn't have experience, that this brings some benefit, then try it. Naam. If it's from the lawful things. Certainly the means of achieving Allah's pleasure and His reward is well known to us. Is that which Allah has legislated that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah. We know that for a fact. As far as medicine or something, that might work or might not work. Naam. It might work or it might not work. But we know that the way of achieving Allah's pleasure is through the things that He has legislated. His commands and prohibitions. Fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. And this is the end of this question. And we still have a few minutes. So inshallah we're going to start the second question, at least a little bit of it. Question number 149. Ma دليل المرتبة الثالثة وهو الإيمان بالمشية. What is the evidence for المرتبة الثالثة? يعني the third level of the levels of إيمان in قدر. That is having إيمان in المشية. That is believing that everything that happens or that does not happen in this world, believing that everything that happens or does not happen is in accordance with and subject to the divine will of Allah. Al-Mashiyah, Mashiyatullah. That everything is in accordance with, it's in agreement with, it is subject to, and it can't deviate from or contradict or oppose what Allah wills. What Allah wills. Everything is subject to Allah's will. What is the evidence for this? The Shaykh mentions 10 ayats from the Quran. 10 ayats. And if we were to just read those ayats straight through, yani, we could finish for sure. But if we discuss them, we will not finish. In any case, the first ayat that the Shaykh mentions, I'm just going to give you the ayats for now, and we'll see how it goes after that. The first ayat that the Shaykh mentions is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Insan, 76th surah and 30th ayat, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That you will not will anything. You will not will anything unless Allah wills. Meaning that you have a will, yes. But your will is not absolute. It's limited free will because it's subject to Allah's will. Okay? So you will to do good, inshallah you will do it if you are sincere. And if you will to do evil, then Allah might save you from yourself and prevent you from it. Or He might let you do it. But it's subject to Allah's will. You don't have any absolute will. Not the human being, no. The second ayah that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 23rd and 24th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And do not say about anything that indeed, verily, certainly, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Definitely? Tomorrow? How do you know about tomorrow? Do not say this. unless you illa ayyasha Allah. Unless you recognize that you will not be able to do it. Unless Allah wills. Unless Allah wills. Unless you recognize this. Naam. Recognize. And if you say, tomorrow we're going to go and pray together in Mecca. Make sure you say inshallah. And everything is easy for Allah. He does whatever He wills. And the third ayat the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-An'am. 6th Surah, 39th ayat. 6th Surah, 39th ayat. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَنْ يَشَاءِ اللَّهُ يُضْلِلْهُ وَمَنْ يَشَاءِ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ مَنْ يَشَاءِ اللَّهُ Whoever Allah wills, يُضْلِلْهُ Then He will lead him astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, He will lead him astray. Of course we know that Allah doesn't lead anybody astray except because of their doing. Because of what they have done. Meaning they have rejected the truth, they have ignored the truth, they have refused and rebelled, and they turn away from the truth, so Allah turns them to that which they turn themselves. And there are a lot of ayahs in the Quran that prove this point. Whoever Allah wills, He will lead them astray. وَمَنْ يَشَاءَ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ And whoever Allah wills, He will put him on a straight path. He will put him on a straight path. And the fourth ayat that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 48th ayat. قال الله تعالى وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ And if Allah had willed, if He willed, because Allah does whatever He wills, and nothing can stop that which Allah wills. And again, we'll talk about it later in detail, but we're talking about Allah's will, His, yani that from the universal will, that thing that when Allah decides it, it has to happen, whether it's from the things that He loves or not. We're not talking about His legislative will, things that He legislates, that He wills us to worship Him and to make salat and to believe and things like this. This may or may not happen. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Allah's universal will. That is the will which entails that which He loves and that which He does not love, that which He's pleased with, and that which He is not pleased with. But when He wills it, He decides it, it must happen. There's no escape from it. Okay, this is the will that we're talking about here under this issue right now. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if He wills, He would have made you as one ummah. You would not have been different ummah. Yani umam, different nations. Rather, if He willed, He would have made everybody one ummah. On one way, on one deen, and one everything. He can do that. Allah what? Does whatever He wills. This is what we're talking about, the will of Allah. He does whatever He wills. If He had willed that, that would have happened. But the fact that it didn't happen is because of what? It's not because He's unable. Rather, it's because He didn't will it. Because He didn't will it. And this, the Shaykh mentioned previously, a few weeks ago we talked about it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when something happens, it's because it is Allah's will, and because Allah has the ability to execute His will. As opposed to, when something does not happen, it's not because Allah doesn't have the ability, it's only because He doesn't will it. Naam. So, after this, the Shaykh mentions the fifth ayat. From Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah. Ayat 253. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا That if Allah had willed, they would not have fought one another. Any people wouldn't have been fighting. Tribes or nations or whoever. They would not have been fighting. If Allah had willed, He could have just stopped it. Now, because nothing can happen unless Allah allows it. And Allah allows some things to happen that He is not pleased with, that He doesn't love. He allows sin, and He's not pleased with it, and He doesn't love it. He allows shirk and kufr, and He's not pleased with it, and He doesn't love it. But He allows it for a reason, for wisdom. So if Allah had willed, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ if He had willed, they would not have fought. That would not have taken place. And the sixth ayah, the Shaykh mentions, from Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 4th ayah, 47:4. وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْ شَاءُ اللَّهُ If Allah had willed, لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ Then He would have, يعني, taken revenge against them. يعني, انتقم منهم. من the kuffar. He would have punished them. If he willed, he would have punished them. Naam. But instead, he willed that you fight against them. To test and to bring out, yani what he intended to bring out. But if Allah had willed, he could have done it himself. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need you. If Allah willed, he could have punished them himself. With real punishment. More than anything that we can inflict. And the seventh ayat, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 107th ayat, 11107. قَالَ تَعَالَى فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. He is the one who does whatever he intends. Whatever Allah intends, whatever he wills, he does it. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can prevent him. Okay, we want to just complete the ayat that we began related to this level of iman and qadr that is the mashiyah of Allah, the will of Allah. So the Shaykh, he had mentioned a number of ayat and also a number of hadith, and we reached the seventh ayat that he mentioned, seventh evidence from Surah Hud, 11107. Naam. And after this he mentioned the eighth ayat from Surah Yasin, 36 surah, 82nd ayat, 36-82. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That indeed, verily, the command, and His command, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His command, when He intends a thing, when Allah intends something, His command is that He says to it, be. And it is. Then, it happens. يعني كن فا, then, as a result of Him saying كن, it happens, it occurs. Whatever He has commanded, He merely says to it, one time, كلمة واحدة كن, the matter is finished. When Allah, إذا أراد شيئاً, when Allah intends something, يعني if Allah wills something to happen, He commands it to come into existence, to occur, to happen, the way He wants it to be, by merely saying to it, one time, كن. And then as a result of that, it happens. Wallahi, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tremendous. Perhaps if we read the tafsir, or at least some point from the tafsir of these ayats, it will be tremendous, tremendous, tremendous benefit for us to reflect upon the meaning of these words that we are taking for granted, that we are reading, even in Arabic, we are reading it, but we are not like stopping on it, dwelling on it, pondering over it, contemplating. What is the meaning of this? إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَكُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. إِنَّمَا, indeed, verily, it is only upon Allah when He commands something to say كُنْ. That's it. The matter is finished. Allahu Akbar. Naam. We are fortunate indeed, wallahi we are fortunate to be Muslims. Other people are in darkness. Subhanallah. And the Shaykh mentions the ninth ayat from Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 40th ayat, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا رَدَنَاهُ أن نقول له كن فيكون. إنما قولنا لشيء, يعني our word, our speech, our saying, for any matter, anything, إذا أردناه, that we intend it to be, to occur, is that we say to it, كن فيكون. We say be, and then as a result of that word, it happens, it occurs, by the will of Allah. Naam. Exactly the way He intended it to be. And the final ayat that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 125th ayat, 6-125. Tremendous ayat that the Shaykh makes, the last one. And there are so many ayats that he could have mentioned. But he picked these ayat and he ended with this one from Surah Al-An'am. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا. And whoever absolutely in the heavens or the earth, whoever Allah intends to guide him, he expands his breast to Islam. Yani he makes his chest, his heart, his being open to Islam. Huh? Wallahi, subhanallah. Have you seen a person who accepted Islam and they just love it from the first moment? Some people, akhi, subhanallah, it's amazing. You say this person doesn't even know anything about Islam yet. They just heard something, they believe that it's true, they didn't learn anything. They didn't read the Quran yet. They didn't read the Hadith. Unlike us, we read all of that. But you look at that person, you feel bad about your own self. Look at the brightness and the happiness and the joy that is in the person who Allah has expanded their breast towards Islam. When Allah intends to guide a person, He opens their breast towards Islam, their chest. He opens them up to Islam, to love it, and makes it easy for them, and to find pleasure in it. And whoever Allah intends to lead him astray, He makes his chest ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا, yani tight, closed, constricted. It's difficult on him. It's like somebody squeezing him, like a big 500-pound wrestler got you in his grip, squeezing your chest, like you're going to bust your chest open. That's how he feels. This has been described as one of the miracles of the Quran, in this ayat. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, it is as though the person is ascending to the heaven. Yani, and the scholars say, of science, they say when a person goes high and high up in the sky, the atmosphere constricts on them, and it squeezes them, and tightens up on them. So a person, if they go up and they don't have some protection, like those space suits, the air, the atmosphere will crush you. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to make us know something about science that the scientists just discovered yesterday. That the atmosphere up high is different than it is down here. It's tight. And so Allah described this, the person who He intends to lead astray, He makes his heart tight, constricted, closed. That's as though, it is as though he is ascending up to the heavens. That's what would happen to him physically. But this is not physical. This is his being. Yani his view, the way he sees Islam is tight. He's tight. He's not feeling it. Not feeling that. That's what the young people say. Or they used to say. I don't know, I heard some young people saying that. I was around some young people, they were saying these strange things. He's not feeling that. The kafir, he's not feeling it. He's tight, you know? He doesn't want to pray. He doesn't want to fast. He doesn't want to read Quran. He doesn't want to practice Islam. Even though this Islam, subhanAllah, is sweet. Naam. Wallahi, Iman is sweet. Wallahu musta'an. And, you know, we will read, yani, some brief, yani, discussion concerning these ayats. Allah willing. If it is the will of Allah. Insha'Allah. Naam. Insha'Allah. Naam. Okay, we're going to stop here with these ayat. Inshallah, in the next class, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll go back to these ayat and look at briefly some points of tafsir concerning each ayat. But at this point, what we should be keeping in mind is what? What we should be keeping in mind is that all of these ayat are dealing with the will of Allah. Okay, there are two types of will of Allah, al-irada al-shar'iyya wal-irada al-qawniyya. And we discussed this previously, and the notes are in the notebook concerning the two types of irada, the will of Allah. It's in the back of the notebook, right? I just want to mention this because I want us to keep in mind that what we are discussing here, the will of Allah, is His universal will, meaning that which, it includes what He loves and what He doesn't love. But it must happen. When Allah wills it, it has to happen. All these ayats are saying if Allah wills something, it would happen. If Allah doesn't will it, it will not happen. That's what it's saying to us. That everything is in accordance with Allah's will. This is His irada al-qawniyya. As opposed to al-irada al-shar'iyya or irada al-diniyya, meaning the things that Allah legislated in the deen, what He commanded and prohibited. These things Allah wills. He wills that people make salat and give zakat and go to hajj and be truthful and be honest in their business dealings and treat their families well. All of this Allah has legislated for us and He wills it. But this will, al-irada al-shar'iyya, what He legislated, it only includes what Allah loves and what He's pleased with. It only includes that. But it may or may not happen. That's the difference. The first one, it must happen. This one, it may or may not happen. But it only includes what Allah loves. And it may or may not happen. It's up to you. Once you know that Allah wills that you pray 12 rak'ah sunnah with your obligatory prayers every day. Allah wills that. How do we know that? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah loves that a person does this. To the extent that he said whoever does it, Allah would build for him a house in Jannah. If a person prays these 12 rak'ah sunnah prayers every day with the congregational prayers. Does Allah loves you to do that? He said he will put you in Jannah. He will build a house for you in Jannah if you do that. So if a person knows that Allah loves that, some people will do it, some people will not do it. It may or may not happen. But it's up to you. It's up to you. If you know that this is what Allah loves, and this is what is pleasing to Him, it's up to you to strive and struggle. Especially in these days. The days in which, these are the days in which there are no good deeds that a person does in any other days that's more beloved than good deeds done in these days. As the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ or نعم مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ يعني أيام عشر ذو الحجة. That there are no days, and out of all the days of the year, in which good deeds are done. يعني there are no days in which a person does good deeds that is more beloved than these days, if you do good deeds in them. These days are better than any other days in the year to do good deeds. You want to do some good deeds? Wallahi, this is the time to do it. 4 days have already passed. Maghrib has passed us. We're in the 5th of Dhul Hijjah. There's only a few days remaining. If Ramadan passed you by, and the 6 days of Shawwal passed you by, these days are more beloved to do good deeds in them than any other days in the whole year. The Prophet ﷺ said. And the hadith is reported by Abu Dawood. And there's a narration in Bukhari that's similar to that wording, but it's not the exact same wording, but the meaning is the same. That wording is the wording from Abu Dawood. The Prophet ﷺ said, there are no days in which you do good deeds that's more beloved than these days for doing good deeds. So exert yourself in these days. If you know that this is the means to earn Allah's love, more beloved to Allah. These days. You want to earn Allah's love? Now is the time to do it. Consistently, but especially now, make extra effort to do something. If it's no more than remembering Allah, saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu akbar, Wa astaghfirullah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever it is, even if it's the little thing like those words, as the Prophet ﷺ said, كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ or he said, خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى الْمِزَانِ or فِي الْمِزَانِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ كَلِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ or ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِزَانِ they are heavy in the scales, meaning they weigh a lot. Two words that weigh a lot in the scales. خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ they are easy for the tongue to pronounce. حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ they are beloved to Allah. And that is saying, Subhanallahi وَبِحَمْدِهِ and Subhanallahi الْعَظِيمِ. That's easy to say. And it's heavy on the scales. And it's loved by Allah. You want to earn Allah's love? This is the means to doing it. This is the asbab that Allah has set for us. He has told us this is the way to earn His love, to earn His pleasure, to earn His reward, to earn His Jannah. By doing the things that He has legislated in the Quran and through the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are the days to do them in, and then be continuous in them. Not like in Ramadan, we did a lot of good deeds, and then after Ramadan we forgot about it. Like Allah, He is the Rabb of Ramadan, and He is not the Rabb of the rest of the months of the year. We worship Him in Ramadan, we forget about Him the rest of the year. Exert yourself in these days, and then also exert yourself. But you're going to get tired because you're human, okay? So you know you can't exert yourself constantly, continuously, all the time. So pick the times to exert yourself more, and then yani, do as much as you can in the other times. And this is a reminder that we're in the 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and it's incumbent upon us to do good, to work hard, to make an effort. Wallahi, maybe we'll not see these days again. We are not guaranteed every year to come and see the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These are special days. This is the month of Hajj. And we have not been of those who are fortunate to be in Mecca. So Allah has given us something to do here. And from the best of these days, of course, the day of Arafah, and that is on this coming Wednesday. And the Eid is on Thursday. So on this Wednesday, if you don't fast any other day, make sure you fast on the day of Arafah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, I hope and expect and anticipate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever fasts on the day of Arafah, that Allah will forgive them their sins from the past year and from the coming year. And who is not in need of that? So, you know, this is a reminder to us again. A reminder to myself. Remind your brother or your sister, and yani, remind yourself through reminding them. When you remind somebody else, guess what? You're reminding yourself. Now, don't forget about the other people, your family, your friends, your neighbors. Remind other people. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, I tried to send it to the brothers and sisters, a 2.5 minute video where the Shaykh was advising us about these days. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, rahmatan wasiya. And he was saying that the students of knowledge, and that might include all of us, because we are the people of Sunnah, and we, all the people of Sunnah, study knowledge, seek knowledge. He said they must spread awareness amongst the people of these days, because most of the people, they are not aware of these days. They don't know that these days have come. They will come and go, and they say, oh, that fast? And he said, most of the people are not aware of these days, and most of the people are ignorant of the virtue of these days. Most of the people are ignorant of the virtue of them. So whoever knows them, they should spread it amongst the other people. And whoever points people to good, they will get the reward of the people, or the one who has done that. And there are a lot of hadith like this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Yeah.